Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my wonderful partner in life and minister of God's Word, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my dear. And yes, Lashana Tova Tiki Tevu to you all, which means may you be inscribed for a good year, which is our main topic tonight and over the next few weeks. Before we begin, let's ask for God's blessing.
Lord God, creator of all things, as we get ready to memorialize your beautiful creation this Rosh Hashanah, let us be continually mindful of your amazing awesomeness. Your word speaks of dire days before your return, but to encourage one another as we see this day happening. So is the body of Christ. We pledge to your loyalty, our love, and our stamina to stand against all odds that get in our way of preaching the gospel. We pray for those still deeply affected by Hurricane Dorian, that through it all they will seek your face and embrace your salvation. We pray for our country, President Trump, and all our leaders, that your Holy Spirit guide them to fulfill your will. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so what about Israel's election today?
Well, the final count is not in yet, and it is a tight race, and regardless of which party wins, Netanyahu's Likud or Benny Gantz's Blue and White Party, both could have some serious difficulty in forming a coalition of at least 61 seats, and that is a must to hold on to the win.
Yeah, that's, you know, what happened last April.
Right. Although Netanyahu won, he couldn't form a government.
Hence today's repeat election.
Mm-hmm. So we'll talk more about that next week, but I can add that Netanyahu has been working behind the scenes, gathering promises to join his government should he win, even promising the LGBT community that they could actually be a part of his government. And he said that so he could gain their votes. And also just yesterday, Netanyahu pledged to annex all the settlements in the occupied West Bank, a gesture intended to court last-minute support from right-wing nationalists.
Well, we'll see if that happens.
It probably will. And the big question on all our minds is how soon will President Trump reveal his deal of the century, as he calls it?
He says very soon after the election.
That's what he says, but maybe not if Netanyahu loses, who is also facing some serious legal battles, even like facing indictment if he's no longer prime minister.
But the other big story, of course, is Iran,
who is in deep doo-doo over their latest bombing to Saudi Arabia's oil pipeline. But I think Saudi Arabia should make the first move, not us. Do you know why we seem to still be indebted to Saudi Arabia, even though we can be totally energy independent?
The dollar.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So a little background on that. You know, Iran really hates us as their economy is suffering greatly due to our sanctions. And they actually want to hurt our economy. So is going kind of what you would say through the back door, so to speak, by attacking Saudi Arabia oil pipelines to push them in a war, knowing we would have to enter it as well as we are loyal to Saudi Arabia. But why are we loyal, since we don't need their oil anymore?
And they even killed our reporter, Jamal Khashoggi.
Well, I think I know why. If we don't help Saudi Arabia, they would renege on their promise that the kingdom made with President Nixon years ago to only accept U.S. dollars for oil purchases from other countries if we bought most of our oil from them and agreed to protect them from their Shiite enemies.
Which we have until fracking came along.
Right. And now we don't need their oil. However, if we don't buy at least some oil, which we are doing, and help them against Iran, well, they could just sell oil in other currencies, which would collapse our dollar.
And that would mean big trouble.
Uh-huh. Interesting that Saudi Arabia's newest leader, Mohammed Salman, well, he tried to help their situation by trying to modernize their oil industry back in 2017. He began to open it up to investors. But a certain reporter spoke out against that, calling it ludicrous. And so many banks, they just would not invest.
Making Salman a very mean man.
Mm-hmm. Well, that reporter worked for the Washington Post, and his name was Jamal Khashoggi, who Saudi Arabia killed in Turkey last year. Anyhow, the war hawks, who actually do pay allegiance to the elite globalists, of course, want to reciprocate Iran's bombing of Saudi Arabia by attacking Iran's refineries. Because, they say, Iran's missiles and drone strikes, well, it's like attacking the whole world's energy system.
So, where is Europe in all this?
Well, I'm not sure. But I don't think anything's going to happen really now before next week's 74th UN General Assembly, which meets annually in New York and covers a myriad of important topics, you know, like in climate change.
Yeah, Saudi Arabia will be back up and running soon.
I think so. They are saying it anyway. So prior to all this turmoil, it had been wondered if President Trump would meet with Iran's President Rouhani when he also comes to the UN meeting in New York. But now that appears very unlikely. But one thing is for sure, there is a big agenda out there who wants to sell us a war. And just like in Iraq, well, they could be lying to us.
Well, all of this could be what they term a false flag.
Well, it sure could. As in coordinated by the higher echelon in maybe Freemasonry or the CIA or the Mossad or even the Jesuits. Or all of them. I don't know, but it's just not an impossibility.
And the enemy is still alive and well on planet Earth.
For sure.
Yeah, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message too. 440-834-9006, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you on our mailing list for our newsletter updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
All right, then. Let me begin by saying that anyone who knows about our Lord's seven appointments that he basically made with all mankind gets pretty excited every fall season, and for good reason. When I was a new believer, we were taught that Jesus could return at any time. And we're not totally against that theory and would welcome it at any time.
Of course, that goes without saying.
However, in this last generation, and I believe ordained by God's direction, our spiritual knowledge has intentionally increased to the Church of Philadelphia, at least to those who want it by searching for it.
As he so eloquently expresses in Proverbs 25:2.
He does. Now, the Holy Spirit has basically reopened his bride's eyes to our lost Hebraic roots, which for me has connected many dots.
Yeah, like the pieces fitting in an end time puzzle.
Just to understand the real meaning of the feasts, all outlined in Leviticus 23 reveals a plethora of insights.
You know, and along with the wedding customs, you have a pretty good handle of how it will be.
Right. You don't have to be a Bible expert to get this. Even children can understand it. Okay, let me begin with an important fact. The Hebrew word for feasts is moed, which means appointments, and four were kept and three are left. Let's read the intro paragraph to these appointments in Leviticus 23.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast,
which means appointments,
of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations,
which means rehearsals.
These are my feasts.
So in other words,
say to them, the appointments of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy rehearsals, these are my appointments.
Whose appointments?
The Lord's.
Mm-hmm. Not just for the Hebrews anymore, but for us too, because we have been grafted in. And actually, can't deny that everyone is affected by these pretty big events, as we saw with his first four appointments.
So, let's review that.
Okay. The first began with Passover, Nisan 14, when Jesus applied his own blood on the wooden cross, fulfilling the historical account of when the Hebrews applied the blood of the lamb on the wood around their door to escape the angel of death. Now, those who accept his sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice, also escape death.
For we will live forever with him.
Mm-hmm. And then number two, on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, Jesus took our leaven, our sins, and buried them in the tomb on the same anniversary date of when the Hebrews left Egypt after eating the unleavened bread and after sundown. So now it was the 15th of Nisan.
And you know, leaven always represents sin in Scripture.
It does. So number three, then Jesus rose from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits, as he is the first fruits of the resurrection. So now it's Nisan 17, the same date they escaped from their enemy through the Red Sea. Great typology. They were victorious, just like we, because of Yeshua, can have victory over our enemy.
Then 50 days later, they received their Torah and the Ten Commandments.
Yes, it was the first Pentecost on Sivan 7, a Sunday. Jesus then fulfills this appointment of Pentecost, also on a Sunday, as we read in Acts chapter 2, by sending his Holy Spirit to Jerusalem to empower them, and now us, bestowing gifts, and teaches us by giving his bride a deeper understanding of our Torah and the whole Word of God.
Now we are in the church age, anticipating his next appointment.
We are. Yes, the last trump, which is an idiomatic phrase for the Feast of Trumpets.
Its Hebrew name is Rosh Hashanah.
Yes, Rosh meaning head and Shana meaning year. It is the anniversary of the creation, but more specifically, man. Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days, Tishri 1 and 2, always at the time of the fall harvest on the new moon, which conveys a new beginnings message, which is very fitting for sure. And this year is celebrated on September 29th, beginning at sundown, till October 1st, ending at sundown. Now, our Hebraic root studies from the first century points to the last trumpet as being the resurrection slash rapture event, as told to us by Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:51. Let's read that.
Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed.
And that should excite the body of Christ, for it is the comforting hope that will sustain you in life's many problems. You know, he never promised us a pain-free life, but rather that we would have pain.
Psalm 34 tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous, but he will deliver us through them all.
Amen. And as well, will reward us accordingly at the beam of judgment as to how we handled life's stressful situations. Can we still be that beacon while going through, on occasion, some horrendous difficulties? So again, the last three appointments, to still be fulfilled occur in the fall harvest season, beginning with Rosh Hashanah or Feast of Trumpets. Honey, could you read Leviticus 23:23?
Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath or rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation.
And we'll address the last two feasts in a few weeks, but 10 days after Feast of Trumpets is Yom Kippur, and 5 days after that is Tabernacles.
Yeah, you know, and all are in the month of Tishri.
Mm-hmm. So you can surely understand why we get jubilant. And if he doesn't come this year, we have yet another year to witness to more lost souls.
How did Paul put it to the Philippines?
Philippians, yeah. He spoke of being hard-pressed because he'd rather go be with the Lord. But, if needed, here he would remain.
We should also call attention again to James 5 and verse 7, since we refer to it often.
Okay. Well, James tells us to be patient for the coming of the Lord, like the farmer who waits for the precious fruit of the earth as it receives the early and the latter rains.
Well, like the two major rains in Israel.
Yes, one in the spring and one in the fall. So that's still another clue, because Jesus is compared to the two rains who gave his ultimate sacrifice for our sins during Passover season, which is when the spring rains occur. And therefore, another indication, well, he will return when the fall rains occur as well, to fulfill his last three appointments. And as we said, the next one is the Feast of Trumpets or Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah, you know, and again, I'll mention it, this year it's on September 29th to October 1st.
Mm-hmm. Another clue is in the parables of Matthew 13. Jesus states that the tares, you know, meaning all those weeds, will remain with the wheat, which represents us, until the great harvest.
Again, in the fall season.
Mm-hmm. Can't say it enough. And because we leave in the fall at the last trump, and he then returns with us also in the fall on Yom Kippur, Revelation 19, and destroys all the wicked seed.
Throwing them in a fire, in the fire.
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, we are all hoping to hear his shofar sound this year. It all depends on that possible peace agreement. And that would have to fulfill Daniel 9:27.
Well, only God knows.
Right. But I am looking even more for a spiritual covenant that involves the Pope and the Jewish Talmudic Sanhedrin that Pope Francis is currently working on, which we have talked about before and we will again.
Well, in fact, the Sanhedrin is hosting a conference of 70 nations this week.
Yes.
Or next week.
Next week, yeah. Calling for unity under the common belief in one God using the teachings of Noah.
What happened to Moses?
Mm-hmm. Anyhow, whatever covenant they ascribe to, it must include Israel giving up sovereignty of the Temple Mount. But they will get the promise to build their temple. And of course they would, because the Antichrist wants to sit in the Holy of Holies as God. So, although it will become international, the Pope will control it, where the one world religion can all worship the same God, but without Jesus.
Well, did you see last week that the Pope said we should all obey the United Nations?
I know, right? Mm-hmm. You can add that one to as many other heresies. So bottom line, we see everything coming together. But I'm thinking, one more year. Well, that's just my opinion. Hope I'm wrong. But I welcome your opinion. So since we still have a few minutes, I'm going to mention some of the other names associated with Rosh Hashanah. It's also called Yom Terah, which means the Day of the Awakening Blast. And, of course, that's what it, last trumpet would be. It's also has an idiom called the coronation. They sing Psalm 45 on Rosh Hashanah. They bake a round loaf of bread, which symbolizes a crown, because all kings were coronated on Rosh Hashanah, even if they had to take over earlier because of a death or something. They still had their coronation parade and all that on a Rosh Hashanah. Now, what's interesting is that if we leave on a Rosh Hashanah, we're going to see Jesus Christ crowned king up in heaven. So do you see how all this Hebraic roots just kind of fits and why he did it all this way so that we could learn from it? It's really pretty amazing. Another idiom for Rosh Hashanah is open the gates. And, of course, we see that in Isaiah 26, where all the righteous can come in. And that also makes you think that it'll be on a Rosh Hashanah. And, by the way, the gates are closed on Yom Kippur. When Jesus returns, that'll be a Yom Kippur, and the gates will be closed then. If you haven't repented and received Christ by then, it would be too late. And there's a word for that. It's called the Nilah. But we'll be talking about that in the following coming weeks. It's also called Day of Judgment. And actually, there are two, because in a way, when we leave, supposedly at a Rosh Hashanah, which I think so, it'll be a judgment on those left behind. But it'll also be kind of a judgment for us, because it'll be a good judgment when we get our rewards. But God is sometimes referred to as the Ancient of Days, and sitting upon a throne, while books containing the deeds of all humanity are open before him. And you can read about that in Malachi 3:16, which is why Rosh Hashanah is also called the Day of Remembrance. So I hope you'll read that, because it's pretty confirming about our rewards and, you know, that everything is written down. Every time we praise the Lord, it's gets written down so that he can show us. So everything counts. It's also called Chief of the Year, or in other words, to begin over. And Rosh Hashanah meals often include fruit and honey, and that's to symbolize a sweet new year. Also called the Hidden Day, because it's on a new moon, and you have to, they actually make sure that it lasts for 2 days, so if they miss the first day, they'll get it the second. But has to be a new moon, has to be visible. And in fact, every month on a new moon, they would have a festive meal in the Old Testament. I'm sure you remember that. Again, it's a type of new beginnings. It's a Jewish custom. And also, they could only see the king or man of God on a Sabbath or a new moon. So it would be fitting for us to go see our king on a new moon or a Sabbath, which, by the way, Rosh Hashanah is the only feast that is on a new moon, and it is also a high day, so it is also a Sabbath. So lots of connections, lots of dots. It's just wonderful. And then the last thing is, no one knows the day or the hour, because it lasts 2 days, and we don't know if it'll be morning or night or in the afternoon or one day or the next. And that's really what that's talking about. So if you want to read more about that, turn to Mark 13 and read especially verse 35. Okay? All right, and we have to go. And I just want you to know that if you're listening to this program and you haven't made Jesus Lord over your life, don't waste any more time, because time is sweeping by quickly. I want to leave you with the ironic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So, till next time, Sha'alu, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because those who love her, well, you're going to prosper in many different ways. So, God bless you. Have a good week. We'll be back next time, God willing. And we'll continue this study on Rosh Hashanah. Okay. Bless you.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.